Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Listeners to City on a Hill radio show, thank you for tuning in. And as always, we would like for you to invite your friends and family throughout the country to join us. Please share the podcast of these programs. Tell them to go to www.cityonahill.tv. And it's really amazing the topics that we cover. And I've got our dear Miss Barbara and Kaylin Jones here with us. And as always, I'd like to give it to Mrs. Barber to start us off on the right footing. Hi, Mrs. Barber.
Hi there. Well, this is the way we always start off, acknowledging our Father in heaven, our glorious God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of this day that you have given us, O Lord. We rejoice in this day and we are glad in it. Father, your blessings are many, and your word tells us that every day you just load us down with benefits. We're so grateful, Father. You are the giver of every good gift, and we thank you for them, Father. We pray, Father, that everyone will come to know you personally, Lord, through Jesus Christ, will come to salvation in him, Lord, and to be able to be blessed by you. That's your desire, Father, and we agree with you, that blessing for all. Father, you desire that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life through Christ Jesus. And we just agree with you, Father. We pray, Father, for our time on the radio show today. We pray, Father, you would be with us and guide us, lead us in the direction you want us to go. And, Father, may everything that we think and say be pleasing unto you, O God. And we pray, Father, that you would be honored in our lives this day. We pray for the needs of all who are listening. We pray your presence, your power, your protection, your provision, O God. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Barbara. And as always, I am so grateful for our Mrs. Barbara Moore. who knows the true history of this nation, and she has been proclaiming it to students for years, and it's made a difference because when she gets through with those students, they are changed forever. They would have known about the greatness of this nation, and really it's about the greatness of God because, you know, this is a nation whose God blesses them tremendously. And so we are so grateful for that, Ms. Barbara. And really, I think, Ms. Barbara, that is the key to being successful. If you know where you come from and it's the right foundation as God's, you know, you cannot help but be successful, be blessed. And right now there are those who would want to, you know, seek success, but yet it's not on the right foundation. And we've got our friend, you know, Kaylin Jones here with us. Kaylin, I just thank God that you've joined us. You're one of those that have joined a Tea Party, and you really, I think, was really disappointed with the way this nation was going, and you decided to become involved because you realized you have to be. You really have no choice.
Yeah, you know, you sit back and sometimes political leaders try to set aside when they say, you know, black vote, Hispanic vote, and different types of ethnicity. They try to set it aside as if those Americans aren't just as concerned as everybody else. And a lot of times you have, I sat back and I watched the media try to portray the Tea Party as being racist. But when you begin to listen to what the Tea Party was saying then and still listen now, you'll understand that their concerns are really the same concerns you have as well as a person. We have to not look at the world in color. We have to look at it in good and evil. And that's how you're going to be able to distinguish where God is based on how you look at the world will greatly affect your decision making. So if you look at everything in the through the lens of good and evil, you'll clearly see the choice will be clearly yours as far as to see which way would you rather go. And that's what really moved me to act, was that it's a challenge, number one, because you alienate part of your friends and family that believe a certain thing, but you know, scripture-wise, you know, within yourself, the Holy Spirit bears witness to you on the inner man to tell you, hey, you know, whatever you put your stamp of approval on with your vote, God takes note of that. Just as you would make a decision in your life towards which way you will go or which way you'll take your family. So that's what really convicted me and got me involved and I'm trying to keep myself active daily to educate those who are not educated in the area of how politics work and how your government works for you, and you don't work for it.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Well, Kaylin, we're grateful for your input, and I just think, Ms. Barbara, you know, the founding fathers really, I hear Kaylin, and I can imagine that the founding fathers really, the ones that came here from Europe, probably felt the same way. Isn't that funny how we've come full circle? And it's almost like here's another new frontier, Kaylin. You know, it's like we are revisiting the days of old. It's sad that man doesn't learn the right way and retain what they learn. But it's like we have to go by the way the world standards, you know, when we realize they've all failed, just like the founders knew. The world standards had failed miserably, and really the key that we have found to exceptionalism has been really here in America, and it works. It's based on God's word, and you're all about exceptionalism too, Ms. Barbara. You are exceptional.
Well, you know, you know, we can study the lives of great people. There are records available to us. All of us are within the distance of a public library. We have so much available to us and accessible to us to read about the lives of great people throughout all history. And we see the common denominator of the truly great people is their relationship to God, His presence in their lives, and what a difference that makes. And, you know, he can take the ordinary and make something extraordinary with it, and He can take whatever we have, whatever is there, and transform it into something beautiful. And He does it with us individually, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing what God can do. But, you know, we truly do benefit greatly when we study the lives of those who've gone before us and see the difference and how they were able to succeed and make a difference in the time that God gave them. And that He will do the same with us.
Oh, indeed. I just look at the history of Israel and how many times they veered away from the right way. But God, like a father, you know, would shoo them back in the right direction. And, of course, you know, we see the punishments, too, that came their way. Just like we punish our little children, you know, when they're doing wrong, God had to punish Israel to get them back to the right way. But His way is the best way. And as we see, the Bible has come true exactly as it stated. You know, Israel is now a nation on their own. And we're seeing all sorts of enemies pressing on all sides of Israel today. And I believe our dear friend Don is with us. Hi, Don.
I'm so sorry to be late. I was on a call about we're reaching the end of our legislative deadline where the governor has by Sunday to sign several bills and hopefully veto them or they become law because most of them are just heinous. So I apologize. I was on the phone about that trying to see what we could fight at the 11th hour.
Well, Don, it's really amazing that we're grateful. We're grateful that you even come on, and I figured you were busy. This is Kaylin. I don't know if you met Don Wildman. She does a little bit of everything, I think. Tea Party has to cover a little bit of everything. But Tea
Absolutely.
Party in California got out of the woodwork, and they were one of the largest tea parties because they were so tired. As Don Wildman says, you know, they're tired of California being the petri dish of every liberal experiment. Is that right, Don?
Yeah, the petri dish of every failed liberal policy.
Okay. And, you know, we can laugh at it, but in all seriousness, it's really a matter of the life of her state and the life of our state that is on the line. When California passes laws, you know, it really impacts not just them, but the whole nation. So, Ms. Barbara, it's really been a privilege to have her come back and tell us what's happening in California, what they've done in the past, because I know when we talk to people, they say, well, did you hear what she just said? That's what's going to happen here. You know, they realize the importance of California. So we're grateful for you fighting, and sometimes it's been rather dark, but I know that you're trying to shine that light, Don, so we're grateful. But we've got Kaylin, and Kaylin is, my goodness, you know, he's one of those hardworking Americans that is tired of the mentality that, unfortunately, the welfare state has, I guess, sown into a lot of the future generation, which, as you know, don't work. Just let us take care of you. So, you know, he's on board with us, and he's trying to stir people to thinking a new thought of how to be exceptional, as Ms. Barbara says. But anyway, if you don't mind, Don, we were going to ask you to teach us how to have really a successful Tea Party group, because I'm thinking, you know, not every Tea Party is a success. For one, you could probably have rhinos in there. For two, you can have moles really planted in there to take you off the right path. But as you have found, because you're also a, you know, a member of the National Tea Party Board, there are some steps that you really can do just to make sure to stir them in the right direction. And do you mind talking about some of these things that you see, you know, if one is trying to start a tea party or their tea party is not doing so well, what are some of the things that they can do?
I absolutely love to talk about that. And you're right. We do have some groups that are completely Republican establishment. Their whole basis for existing is to shore up, you know, the Central Committee in their district or whatever. And, you know, if that district Central Committee was actually doing good stuff, we'd probably be less annoyed. But generally, they're going against the grain, and it's, you know, the crony system still alive and well. We also, you know, I always assume that there are people out there that are totally against our objectives that have slapped up a Tea Party and try to use the name to have influence. They're usually, we self-police pretty well, so they're usually found out fairly quickly, and they usually end up folding. Because after a while, the whole thing that got this whole thing started, which was people becoming truly aware of how bad it really was, how much of your freedom had been sucked up by the federal government, how much the hand of the federal government had come into your life on an everyday basis, and how impotent your state was as a sovereign state to actually implement its own laws and to really be about the constituency, the taxpayer within your own state and your own borders, and what was good for the state. So just that awareness and that awakening of people, it's sort of the same thing that will take down most groups that are, you know, these faux Tea Party groups. Although there are still people out there, this teaparty.net, which isn't, not only is it not a Tea Party, but the man that runs it is being investigated in two other states because, you know, this guy has, you know, lie, cheat, steal, and he gets this email list and sells it. That's where he makes his money, that he can afford to do all these really fancy disco ball things, is that he is selling those email lists every time somebody signs up to get information. Bang, zoom. You wonder why you're getting so many calls from different places now. Well, you know, if you signed up at Tea Party Net, that's why. They actually copied all the information off of our own site to put it up theirs and have tried to pass it off as, oh, look, we have all these affiliate members, and we're going, yeah, none of us even knew we were on your site, and we keep asking you to remove us. So yeah, there's a lot of dishonesty going on. Most groups are just hardworking people. I think the first step for even starting is really asking yourself, are you willing to have the commitment that it will take to be a leader? And there are plenty of people that are much more comfortable being in sort of a following role, that they're in agreement with people, they find consensus, and they're okay sort of playing that backseat role, which is great. I think if you know that about yourself, that's great, because it's, you're totally needed in this. It's those that step up to leadership and then sort of waver and falter that we have a problem with, because, you know, if you don't have a good leader, you know, running the show and getting people together and getting them to have consensus and all that, then it just sort of falls apart because nobody's stepping up and saying, okay, finally, you know, I'll do it. So the first thing to do is, I really truly think, is to decide which of those two kind of personalities are you. If you think you are a great leader, then literally it starts with your own circle of influence. So, you know, don't jeopardize your job, but you talk to your buddy that maybe you golf with, or the guy that you have a beer with after work, and you talk to your friends, your family, your church, and start having meetings. I mean, it is a very simple process. It's one we've steered away from as a society because the nation became so industrialized, and we don't have people being born and dying in the same town anymore. It's not as frequent as it once was. So, you know, so much really starts with the person that steps up and says, I want to do this. And once they get to that point where they say, I really want to do this on a bigger stage, you know, get more people in my town interested, it's really simple. I mean, you know, so make up a flyer. You know, anybody can do it anymore, even in a Word doc. You know, hand them out at church, hand them out when you go to the grocery store. Most of us, when we do flyers, we make small ones, half page. And women, you know, we got them in our purse, and we're going to the grocery store, and you're talking to the lady in line, we hand them out. You're talking to the butcher, we hand them out. You know, I go to the bank, I hand it to the teller, whatever. And once you get people start coming, just, you know, sit down and start talking to him. We used to be able to do this as a country because it's the analogy that I use about building barns. It used to be if your neighbor's barn burned down or something happened to it, you know, everybody got together, you know, you had a potluck, and you built the barn because you needed people on all sides to build that barn and to ensure its foundation, to make sure it was strong. And after the end of the day, when the barn has been built and you have that sense of pride in what you did and what you accomplished, you sat around and you broke bread together. And, you know, that's the way the world worked at one time. And the Tea Party, to me, is an essence of that. It's the modern barn building. So you're getting together with folks, break bread, you know, start even out casually. You will be really amazed at the people that you start getting to come to talk to you. And the other thing is I have people say, well, I'm not good about talking about politics, and oh my goodness, my friends would never talk about politics. So don't talk about politics. Or if you're going to talk about what's going on in the nation or what's going on in your town as a taxpayer, talk about the civic issue of it. You know, we were given the beautiful document of the Constitution by men who fought really hard and long amongst themselves even at times and lifted it up to God on every occasion, knowing how important it was, and built this Constitution. It wasn't, you know, it's for the people, by the people, for a reason. And it's not enough to just vote. I mean, I think it's great that people vote, but that's not where your civic involvement should begin and end. You really, everything about governing ourselves as a nation is about governing ourselves. So if you're not involved in what's happening on your school board or your water board or your city council or whatever it is, that everybody has a passion for something. Find what that passion is. Get involved in it. Find out what's going on. Because you will be very surprised from the last time that you checked in with them how different it is now. I hear a lot of parents come and say, you know, I have grown children, I have grandchildren. I cannot believe what I see happening in the school system right now. This is not what was happening when my child was in school and I was a member of the PTA. And it isn't. But you can't stop being involved just because your child isn't in school or you don't live in a district that has a water board or whatever it is. It really is accepting the responsibility, I think, as a citizen and as a patriot to this country, as a taxpayer. If the only reason you care is because you don't like the way they spend your money, then by God, you need to get in there and get aware, because trust me, the way they're spending your money is not the way that you would have allocated if you'd been given the choice. So it's really a fairly simple process. Most people reach out and ask me. They either email me or call me, and I get them in touch with somebody that can literally walk them through the process. And so,
Don, you had mentioned something a while back that made an impression to me, because I just think about, you know, the Committee of Correspondence, you know, heard that word committee, you know, when the Founding Fathers were doing all that, or I guess the Revolution, the Committee of Correspondence. It's really good to break them down to be part of something where they're researching and talking. Like, I think that's what y'all do. You let them become part of something that they're interested in, a committee or something.
We have a project that's called the GAP Project. It's the Government Accountability Project. And what we've done is we've sent out to all of our group leaders and asked them to pass it on to their membership. And what we look for is somebody to cover a representative. And it doesn't even have to be your own. But looking for somebody that will take on one representative to look at what this person is doing in their committee in government. Like for Daryl Issa, it would be what he's doing in the House Intelligence Committee. So, and we actually have somebody following him. And they were following, this is how important this has become to us as a nation, I truly believe, because we rarely hear about things until on the news, until it becomes, as news people will say, a sexy story. So here we have this young man who is covering Daryl Issa, and he finds out that the House Intelligence Committee that Daryl Issa is in charge of is going to be looking into this this project by our government called Fast and Furious. and he writes a story about it. Well, he broke the story about it before the mainstream media or even Fox knew anything about it. And he was talking about it because he was looking at what Daryl Issa is doing and letting everybody else know, I'm following Daryl Issa. I can tell you how he votes, when he votes, why he votes. And I, more importantly, I can tell you what he's doing in each one of those committees. Most people don't follow what their representative is doing inside of any of the committees that they're in. And this is where a lot of the deal-making goes on. So we have this great accountability project. Anybody that wants to volunteer can. We're just asking them to be basically the blogger for, you know, a representative. And you don't have to think of yourself as trying to be Michelle Malkin or somebody like that. We're looking for somebody who's just following these people and telling everybody else in a couple of paragraphs what they're doing. Nobody has the ability to watch 535 people and see what they're doing every day. All the incremental decisions that are being made in committees every day in the federal government, none of us really know about. And this way we can keep track. So then you can go in, you can find out now, you know, is Miss Martha Roby being followed? What is she doing? What is she saying in the committees that she belongs to? And hold people accountable for what they're doing that sometimes is happening literally behind closed doors.
Wow. That's that is a wonderful way, because I know in our own study, you know, even if you try to follow the issue, there's so many people involved in the issue, so many leaders. But if you can do what you're saying, which is follow the man, then you will follow the issue, because the person has to deal with the issue anyway, like education. If you follow what she's doing, you're really going to be able to find out every detail of that issue, more so than if you just followed education, I think, because there's so many loops you can go through.
But the other thing, too, is that I think because of it, you get to match up what they're saying publicly and what they're doing in the committee. It has been historically much easier for somebody to say, oh, I'm absolutely on the side of right about education, and this is what I believe. But if you look inside the committee and see the person is voting for the bad stuff and not what they say they are publicly, because normally nobody's paying attention to that. It's not the vote. It's not the persuasive argument that anybody's paying attention to, because it's just another committee in the government, and, you know, we haven't really looked at those. So I think it's a great way to hold people's feet to the fire and make them accountable for what they're saying and doing, even inside those committees.
Kayla?
Well, I'm just curious. Oh, go ahead, Ms. Barb.
I was just wanting to get Kaylin's take about that. And you know, if maybe we don't need to begin going in that direction around the Wiregrass area. What do you think, Kaylin?
Yeah, I had already been doing some research on the Congressional Black Caucus, just because I knew for a fact that on the outside they say they're for, you know, the black community, but really on the inside of the inner workings of the CBC, it's not really about helping the black community. It's trying to get the money they need for their constituents to buy more votes for the next years. It's not really necessarily about developing the black community, because if it was about developing the black community, then the CBC would have done its job already. There wouldn't be such a high unemployment rate in the black community, nor would there be so many people that I know of in the black community that don't even know what's going on as far as politics are concerned, nor are they concerned at all. A lot of people don't even understand when they hear terms like, for example, they listen to the news and they hear terms like paying your fair share and different things like that. Most people who work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, all they do after their two-week period is look at their paycheck and they go, well, the government's taking this, that, and the other, and they already written that money off, but they haven't thought about what are they doing with this money that I'm giving X amount for. And I'm talking about people who make below, you know, poverty. I'm talking about people who make about, you know, $35,000 to $40,000 a year in Alabama, which, you know, is pretty decent wage down here. And you look at those people and you ask them questions about taxes and different things like that. Half of them don't even know who their representative is. don't even know what representative means, probably don't, I mean, they know what representative means, but don't know who it is, what they do, and different things like that, because we've handed all our business over to the government, so it's like we almost like we hire somebody and keep paying them, but not watching what they're doing. So, you know, we need to raise awareness. I guess it's what it really boils down to is the Tea Party is what I do is I raise awareness of the people so they can pay attention and look at the issues for themselves so they can be aware that that money that you put into Social Security, it won't be there when it's time for you to get it out. And when I begin to have a conversation with someone about this, their eyes get really big because they're thinking, wait a minute, you know, all this money I've been putting in, you mean to tell me it's not there? And I'm like, yeah, it's spent. We're in a deficit. We're in a $14 trillion deficit. We have no money. Everything else is borrowed. At every 2 weeks when taxes hit the rolls, the government gets it, it's already spent. And, you know, it's like, you know, people sit down and they let that sink in for a minute, and it's just a great feeling to see someone wake up and say, well, that doesn't make any sense, you know. But
well,
anyway, I think, yeah, go ahead.
I'm just curious, what is your take on somebody like Representative Maxine Waters that will tell the Tea Party to go straight to hell, but then also
yeah.
She gets on the president? Is it about the fact that she's worried because he's not looking so good in the polls that it might be the more popular thing to be on the other side and to really do her job?
Well, Maxine Waters really is way outdated, and I mean that in the she's outdated along with Clyburn and the rest of them. Really, they're way outdated. They're not really concerned about the black community as they should be. I understand that she has criticized the president publicly and privately more so probably. I think the main issue with her and him is the fact that he is dragging behind in the polls and they don't know how to fix it because the economy is still in a mess. And no one in Washington will be honest and say, you know what, the stimulus, all that was wasted money. It didn't work. We need to try to do something else. But because of pride and ignorance, we continue to try the same old thing over and over again, expecting a different result. But back to the president and Maxine Waters, that particular issue that came up about the bedroom slippers and us telling us to go straight to hell and all this other stuff, like I said, she's more concerned with being, you know, staying in the position she's in, along with everybody else in the CBC. They're not concerned about the people, because if it was about the people, it wouldn't be handouts. It would be incentives for people to get up and do something for themselves.
Well,
I don't really believe in people getting free money. Go ahead.
Well, it sounds to me like the black people have been manipulated for so long, and you know, you were talking about the Wall Street crowd. I mean, the Wall Street strike or picketing, whatever, and the people behind there. And also, you know, you've already heard about the Van Jones, and I'd like to ask Don about that too. But again, it's a play, it's a picture they're trying to paint. And I'm thinking, is the black people not tired of all this? Because, you know, they're the ones that's really unemployed. You know, their percentage of unemployment is high. Black-on-black crime is high. Do you think that it's enough now, there's enough statistics that they're going to say, okay, it's time for really a true change?
There will be a small percentage that will be, but this is, let me just give you a snapshot, and maybe everybody can kind of see where, you know, I can, for example, I was talking to my brother yesterday. He lives in New York City. He lives on Long Island. My brother worked for the state for most of his life, and he got in an accident while he was at work. But long story short, my brother worked for the state of New York. But I was talking to him last night about politics, and he was surprised in the position I was in, because even we grew up in the same household now. Even my brother with the same mentality that, you know, Republicans are not for black people and, you know, the Tea Party is anti-black. And I'm asking my brother, where are you getting all this? What evidence do you have of anything you're telling me? And he says, don't you watch CNN? I'm like, yeah, I watch CNN. I watch Fox. I watch it all. But you really can't listen to what they're telling you, brother. You know, you have to go and read for yourself. You see, that's what's happening is the media is spoon-feeding hate and fear into people because they try to make them feel like if a Republican gets control, then you won't have anything and all the rich people will have everything. And that's the mentality. And to break that mentality is just going to take time. I mean, it's going to take some time to illuminate minds to the truth of what's really happening. And once people understand that, you know, it's not a coincidence that even here in Dothan, if you go to Third Avenue, the streets aren't paved and grass isn't cut that the city needs to cut. But you go on another side of town and everything is lovely and great. You keep voting for the same people, but they're not doing anything for the community but about the upkeep of it. And instead of telling you that it's somebody else's problem, but you have to take and understand, you have to take responsibility for your own community. You can't wait for anybody else to do it. And that is the mentality we need to try to press on the people, is that, hey, you have a responsibility by living in this community to ensure the right things happen in your community.
Well, Don, what do you think?
Well, let me give you, much like Kalen, I totally agree with him in everything, and we're seeing this in California where we actually have a South Central LA Tea Party. So Compton has a tea party, and the reason they do is that people like Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson has seen that, you know, as a community, the black community has been sold this sort of bill of goods, and everybody has kind of gone along with it for the same reason, just as generally as citizens of the U.S., we all have. Most information anybody gets about any election is like 3 weeks prior to the election, and they're spoon-fed stuff in 30-second sound bites. That's just how it has been. Since the advent of television, that's the way people have gotten politics. More churches are afraid to talk about anything that is political because, you know, 3 years ago they were pretty much warned, if you even look political, we'll take away your charity status. And by the way, that's not happened to any church. And so here you have, you know, a people who have been actually bettered, ironically, by Republicans. Martin Luther King was a Republican. Those that voted for cloture for the Civil Rights Amendment were Republicans. The South, especially the Southern Democrats, really didn't want to see that one pushed through. So you have an incremental over the last 100 years where the history of this nation has been changed. And so we are teaching our kids from the get-go an incorrect, fake history of the nation. And nothing has worked better to divide people in this country like the word racist or the idea that it's black against white. Nothing has, in every aspect, the one thing I've totally learned in the Tea Party is that as long as government and those that wish to take more of your liberty and your freedoms away, as long as they can keep dividing you, they've got a shot at it because that's what gets them elected. That's what gets them to keep moving their own agenda forward because somebody's got to be the victim. And we see this all the time. It doesn't matter if it's the black community, a Latino community, the Cubano community in Florida, or if it's now it's the, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender special interest. As long as you can keep honing the us against them attitude, somebody has the ability to come into your community and say, guess what, I have the way to save us all, and I'm the guy that's going to do it, and I'm going to keep lining my pockets. The thing that probably makes me the most disgusted with the Congressional Black Caucus, beyond the fact that you have sitting congresspeople of this country who are outwardly abusing constituents and citizens of this country for doing nothing but what the Constitution expected them to do, which is stand up and be part of governing themselves. Beyond that, if you look at where they spend their money, it's horrific. I really think if you took into the black community, Kalen, where they spend their money and the fact that it's spent on themselves, it's not going back into the community, that would make people stand up and take a second look. But I think we're seeing this everywhere. People don't want to be, they don't view themselves as victims. And they know the best part of this country, you weren't given a promise of prosperity. what you were given a promise of is that you have the absolute same right as anybody else does to exceed and be exceptional. That's the promise.
Wow.
That every person is created equal to decide what to do with their free will and to move the ball forward. It wasn't promised that I would give it to you. So, you know, I think more and more, especially young people, I thank God for people like you, Kaylin, if you're able to go in to talk to young people about this and say, you know, to be able to talk to our peers no matter what your age and say, you know, what is it you're talking about? This is crazy. Are you actually looking at what's going on? Or are you listening to what Maxine Waters or any of these other adults are telling you?
Well,
yeah,
this is why, oh, I'm sorry, Ken. I wanted to get back to you, but let me get Ms. Barber to say this, which this is why they don't want true history taught to our children, Ms. Barber. I think they pollute the history. They want to change the history, as Don had outlined it. And two, you know, Kaylin, with you following what they're doing and following the money, I hope that you're blogging that. If not, you need to get that on our blog. And we need to put it in the papers. I think I agree with Don. But what is your take on that, Ms. Barber? That true history, you know, again, truth sets people free.
Well, you know, if we don't know our history, we're easily manipulated. Now, Karl Marx, most everything he said was wrong, but he made the statement that if you take away a man's heritage, he is easily persuaded. And that is a true statement, which is why the communists and socialists always try to rewrite the history so they can use it and teach whatever they choose to teach them, you know. And that's what's happened here. We have been taught revisionist history. And what you mentioned, Don, about the Republicans were the ones who voted for civil rights, and we can go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, was a Republican. Frederick Douglass was a Republican, and that has just been covered up, and all of that has not been taught, and it needs to be taught. We need to have the truth taught because it does affect the way we think and the decisions we make and how we live.
Well, Kaylin, following the money is so very important. And, it's funny because you mentioned that, Don, but we hear about Michelle Obama and her trip to Africa and just the plane alone. Did I hear that was $500,000? So I'm just thinking to myself, the people that's supposed to be serving us really likes to be served. And I'm thinking, Kaylin, that would be a great thing to show that following the money, because really they've had chances after chances to change the tide so that, you know, the unemployment rate should not be this low for Black Americans, that crime against crime should not be that high, Black on Black. It should not be. They had a chance to do something about it. But what are they doing? All the power. But I think you're right. You do have to show the facts because, unfortunately, CNN and ABC, CBS, you know, they're more for the picture of Obama standing before a bridge that's not going to have jobs for another 4 years. I mean, shouldn't that be insulting to all of us?
It really should be because, I mean, the president really is going out of his way to ensure that the divided America stays as deep as it can be. By sleight of hand, himself, he's done this. He enjoys the division. And I hate to say things that are this negative about my president, because he is our president and he is the face of our country. However, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. He enjoys the division. He enjoys putting a cape on and putting an S on his chest as if he's Superman when he comes into the Black community, as if he's some type of super celebrity, when all he's done is try to further deepen Black people's dependence on the government. You know, it's almost like, for example, I'm going to give you all a really good example. Everybody knows I work with the public. I have a chance to meet different people every day. I met a young lady who works at the health department, and she began to discuss with me politics. She works for the state, so off the bat, she was complaining about her pay. she was complaining to me that, you know, people that were in her same field got paid more money than she did. And I turned it around on her. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how much job security do you have? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, do you have a chance for your job to disappear, close up, or anything like that? She's like, no, I work for the government. I said, there's the difference. I said, people who work in the private industry, that private industry could just disappear. But you work for the government. You have twice the amount of job security this person has. You have the same opportunity. If you want to get paid more money like your friends are, don't work for the government. Go work for a private industry and join them. Why don't you just quit your government job? And she's steady asking me, why can't they pay me more money? I'm saying, you're not understanding that the job you have, I'm helping pay for it, and so are you when it comes out of your check. Do you understand that you're a social worker pretty much, and that you're not going to get paid as much as someone in the private industry because there's more risk involved? You can't have both. I mean, I'm in a private industry right now. I work in sales. If I don't perform, I'm kicked out. There is no job security for me. But that's how the capitalist system works. It rewards you for doing well. That's the system that's set up. And people don't understand even our economic system. They don't really understand that. But that was a good exchange I had with her because we got into environmental things. We got into a whole bunch of things. I proposed a few questions. I said, so if it came down to an endangered species and feeding 500 people, which one would you choose? Obviously, she said, well, the 500 people. And I pointed out to a case in California where there were some farmers who needed water, but they couldn't get it because there was some type of fish that would be endangered and die, so they couldn't water their crops. And here I am thinking a whole community needs water for an irrigation system that they can't get because of some one fish that won't exist anymore. You have to put people over – the people have to have the higher standard than the animals and trees and all these other things. So I believe that education is the way the government – that's a tool the government uses, a tool the president uses, to make us think one thing when really there's something else really going on behind the scenes. So it's kind of, you know, I think I told someone the other day that the big problem with the education and how everybody looks at everything is we have a bunch of households teaching our children differently, and they're thrown into this melting pot called the public school system, but there's no real standard in the public school system, because if there were, teachers would be held more accountable, and so would parents would as well, when it came to their children. So it's just a big, I know that's a whole lot to digest, but it's just a lot of things. It's going to take some work to rework the system that we're under right now so that people can be educated and understand how it works, so they can understand how to move forward, not continue to blame other people for their own problems. So
that's And really, just, they all have to catch up. They have to catch
yeah.
up because, unfortunately, they are after our children. As we talk to you, Don, you know that full well with the Common Core standards that the president's wanting every state to go ahead and sign on to a waiver so that we can for sure go ahead and put these national standards. We're going to take care of these kids. We're going to teach them what to learn. We want them to be for global warming. If we don't have to have an election in the future, they will just vote in everything we want. So anyway, that's the wave of the future, but I thank God for tailing your perspective and you were talking to it. And Don, what is your take? You know, we have the Tea Party group, and now I consider this the anti-Tea Party group, which is those people breaking laws right there at Wall Street. You know, if they were a really valid group, I would just start off with trying to break laws. Isn't that anarchy?
I actually find it... Well, I find it very funny, to tell you the truth, because evidently they've been there for 3 weeks, and up until yesterday, I saw very little reported about it. And as a matter of fact, I made a comment on our Monday night call that every time any government large body meets, whether it's the G8, the G20, the WTO, we see this kind of stuff. This is obviously a very concerted effort by, frankly, anarchists, which is even more interesting. But the thing that sort of confuses me about all of it is that when they go to speak to these folks, which are largely young people, you know, they say that most of them don't even seem to understand why they're there, what the demand is, or what the goal is. They're going to do one of these, actually, in my own community this weekend. And they talk about their, you know, until our demands are met. But they don't actually say what exactly those demands are. And the irony to all of it is that if you really are complaining about crony capitalism, you have no further to look than your own current administration and government. All the people that are there, they are the ones that are lifting up GE, who just, by the way, took almost everything offshore to China. So it's not, you're not going to get employed by GE anytime real soon. You know, Solyndra, a company in California that went out of business that probably should have never even been in business. These are the people that keep, you know, the banks, you know, General Motors. These are the guys actually doing the deals now. So if you want to complain about crony capitalism, at least know that the people that you normally align yourself with are those folks. I mean, we get it from a concerted perspective. We're out there beating the doors down every day to complain about the Republicans because we understand how much of a part they play in this heinous role. And at least we're calling our guys out for what they are. There is this absolute cultural quarantine that happens, especially, I think, and you see it in Latino communities, you see it in the Black communities, where there is a, you know, there's always this joke about Reagan's 11th commandment for the Republicans, which is that you never speak ill of another Republican. It is the most ludicrous thing in the world. Bad act is a bad act is a bad act. I don't care who's doing it. If it's my next door neighbor or my friend or my family member, it's going to be called out for what it is. So there is this complicit idea that we're all supposed to remain, because as long as we're all tied to each other, whether it's through ethnicity or culture or sexual identity now, you know, we're going to stick to our story. It takes real heroes like Kalen that stand up and say, guess what, guys? You know, where are you? This stuff is being perpetrated on us, to us. It is not helping us. So why aren't we standing up and complaining about it and calling it out for what it is? That's what's happening now with the Wall Street thing, except that you have, it reminds me so much of what was seen in the 60s, which were, you know, these weren't, you know, kids that, the funny thing about it too, the people that were doing it in the 60s are now the people that are in your White House that have helped propel this administration, and most of them are now working in the current administration. You know, do these kids have jobs? I just want somebody to ask them, do you have a job? If you don't have a job, why don't you have a job? And don't tell me it's the economy. Beyond that, what is it you were looking for in a job? Are you still in college? Who's paying for college? Who's paying for you to be here? You know, that's the real crux of it to me, is who's paying for them to be there?
Well, Ms. Barbara, I haven't... Oh, I'm sorry, Kalen. Ms. Barbara, what's your take on it? And then we'll give it to Kalen.
Well, I'd like to go back where Kalen... to what Kalen was talking about, and the farmers and the water situation and the protection of the snail darter or whoever the species, the species
Delta smelt.
It was
the Delta,
but, you know,
smelt.
Okay. Well, you know, there is a difference in worldviews. There is a clash of worldviews, and so many policies that we see now are a result of a worldview, and it is a view that does not view the human being as really different from other animals, does not see the human being as fearfully and wonderfully created in God's image and likeness to have dominion over the earth and its resources. You know, so it's very much and they are the ones, you know, with the Environmental Protection Agency, they are the ones in this administration. Their view is in opposition to a biblical worldview. And I think it's important that we recognize that, because so many times people are just so bewildered. How can anybody think that way? You know, but we have to look, you know, beyond and see where they're coming from. And unfortunately, this worldview of secular humanism or atheism has been taught to 80% of the American people. I mean, it's 80% of Americans that go through the public school system. So this worldview has been taught for many years now, and we're seeing the fruit of that in all these policies.
I just want to say something really quick because I find this absolutely fascinating, and I'm sorry, Kaylin, I'm sucking up your time. If you guys, there's a PBS series right now that Ken Burns has out. It's his new series called Prohibition. It's about Prohibition. And if you caught the first one, which was last weekend, it was talking about what was actually happening in the society in America that made the temperance movement so absolutely strong and empowered that actually forced the government to repeal the drinking and possession of alcohol in this country. Frankly, they should make it just the other way now, because we would all be able to stomach what was happening far more, meaning that they should be supplying it to us for free. But it was so interesting to watch, because the same dynamics you see at work today is exactly the same thing that allowed the temperance movement to gain the power and the influence that it had. And it is exactly the same formula over and over again, and it is actually the same formula we use, as a matter of fact, to try to gain influence. But it's just so interesting that, you know, and we learned this from the left, by the way. We were taught very well by the left, and we just do it in a far more polite, considerate manner than they ever do, because we actually consider our friends and our neighbors to be as important as we are, even if they don't agree with us, which, by the way, the left doesn't. So, but if you watch that, it was just so fascinating to see the same thing at play. It doesn't matter what the issue is. The way it plays out, the way one gains influence, the way one controls government, the way that one takes government to legislate morality, what happens, what does that look like? So it was very fascinating. If people get a chance to watch it, they should. You'll learn a lot.
Wow. I think I need to watch that. Go ahead, Kaylin.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that being born in 1980 and kind of coming up in the generation that's causing all this, I can tell you this.
Nah.
That I remember one particular cartoon I used to watch called Captain Planet. It came on TNT. And I loved Captain Planet when I was like 12 or 13. I can't remember what it was, but it taught about pollution and protecting the ozone layer, and it was just a really cool cartoon. So I was being indoctrinated then as a child, you know, the earth is precious, don't cut down trees, we're losing the rainforest, and all these different things. And also I remember in college, when I was in my first year of college, I remember when they take you in a room and they discuss, you know, they give you orientation and say, well, you know, when you get out of college, you're going to make X amount of dollars a year. You know, you're going to move right into this glorious position. You're not going to have to work your way up. You'll be, you know, entry level, but you're going to make this amount a year. Well, what happens, I believe, is a lot of my classmates probably found out the truth is that, hey, you do have to work your way up, and, hey, you don't move directly into a position where you make this, you know, a substantial amount of money just because you have an education. And what's happened is the left, is the academics that have really and truly screwed the country up, because they don't have common sense. All they do is look at numbers, facts and figures, and not reality. And that is the main disconnect that I have with a lot of, corporate America. I've been involved in corporate America for years. What happens in corporate America is, because of government policy, common sense gets pushed aside, and we have to follow these standards and guidelines, but we end up shooting ourselves in the foot because the standards and guidelines that are given to us are given by people who are academic, and they don't have much common sense, so it just trickles down all the way into corporate America and then trickles its way all the way down to the local communities. What people don't understand is that the academics have ruined the country. It is the people who are common sense that were the founding fathers, who were educated, yes, but had a connection with God more so than anything, and that's what gave them the knowledge to be able to build such a great country. A lot of people will argue with me, well, Kalen, you know, why, if our country was perfect when it was founded, what happened with slavery? I always have to remind them that Israel has been in, was in slavery long before we were, long before people who were African-American. Actually, Jewish people have been the most persecuted on the entire planet. So you really can't, you know, give me the play the violin and the sob story. Yes, slavery is a bad thing, but you have to look at, out of all things that happen, something good comes out of it. And I truly believe that's, I truly, truly believe that out of everything that happens, something good comes out of it. But we cannot focus on the negative aspect of our country. We have to focus on the positive aspect of our country. I can choose and look at a lot of negativity, but I have to look at what the good is, because the good, the scripture always says the good always outweighs the bad. It says, the better of an end of a thing is in the beginning. So it always tells us that. So we have to know and understand that. We look at the positive aspect of everything, especially when it comes to, like I just turned 31 last month. So, you know, I know for a fact, just in the time span I've been on this earth and things that I've seen and been and have partake of, I can understand that it may seem like it's hard because I've been homeless twice before, so it may seem like it can be hard, but it's worth it in the end. So we have to teach our children and our young people that there will be difficulty in life and be honest with them about that. Everything won't be handed to you, but you have to have faith and press on to know if you try hard in this country, you'll have the same opportunity everybody else has. The government will not get in your way and try to hold you back or keep you in one position.
Wow. Thank you for that, Kalen. And, you know, we thank God for people that will stand in the gap. And, Kalen, you're doing that. And, Don, you're doing that. And, Ms. Barbara, I thank you for, you know, reminding us of the history. And I think you've got that Abe Lincoln quote, the philosophy of the classroom is the, what was that, of the government in the next? What was that?
Oh, the philosophy
I can't remember
of
the right
classroom
word.
In one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. Yes, indeed. Yes. Education has consequences.
We've seen that as Kalen was talking about, you know, they found that the government can manipulate the adults, and now they're going to manipulate our kids, because really the family is broken. The defender of the child, the family, is broken, and the defender of the family, the church, a lot of them doesn't want to get dirty or can't get dirty. They think they can't get dirty. And I'm thinking, who else is next? Well, I'm hoping a lot of the people in the churches today will wake up. Ooh, they're coming for the children, the minds of our children now. But good news is here. I did hear, Dawn, good news about the Common Core Standards. Ms. Barbara, would you care to tell Dawn, if she doesn't already know it, about what happened in the National Federation of Conservatives?
I'd be glad to. It is good news. Elois Zena is our Alabama Federation of Republican Women president, and she attended the conference, the national conference in Kansas City, Missouri, and presented the resolution that was passed by the steering committee here in Alabama, and presented it to the conference, and it was passed as a resolution by the conference, and each one of these ladies is going back to their states with resolution in hand and going to garner a lot of support for the resolution and take action there in their own state. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful victory.
Again, it's a resolution to defeat the national standards. We do not want socialism. Oh, isn't that amazing? And, of course,
I have to jump off right now. I'm sorry, ladies, and Kalen, I have to jump off right now to get on a meeting. Thank you for everything you all do, and I hope to hear from you soon, Kalen.
Well,
thank you, Don. Thank you.
Again with you, Don. God bless you. Well, Kalen, You know, it's really, I think maybe, I'm hoping the tide is turning. And, you know, we know the scripture that with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And we're hoping that parents will start looking at their child, this Common Core Standards, which is going to take away the right of parents. You know how, Kaylin, you can go before your local school board if you have a problem with a curriculum, you know, in the classroom. You can go before the school board, and, you know, and they can take it from there, and if they have to go through the state board. But that is going to be taken away from us, and it's through what this call is called Common Core Standards. It's really setting up national standards. Our state board, the majority of them, signed on to the national standards, pretty much giving your authority, your parental right, Kaylin, to be able to put input at your local school board. And I, you know, most Alabamians and really most Americans can't believe that that's happened, because, you know, that's a basic constitutional right. My goodness, but they have done it just with a stroke of a pen. And now we're fighting it, and we're asking people like Martha Roby to, you know, go ahead and let the House of Representatives have a vote to defund it. Never mind the Senate. They need to do their part. They need to take a stand. They need to make this a national issue with a national debate, because most parents have never heard of Common Core Standards. But it's one of the most dangerous things, really, for our form of government. Right, Ms. Barbara?
That's right. And not only do most parents not know about it, but many legislators, both state and national, don't know anything about it. It's really been under the radar screen, and it's been slipped in while our eyes were focused elsewhere. The Department of Education, with Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education, and in the Obama administration, they've really worked this in, and it is already in place in the math and what was the other one, Diana? It was math and science?
English language, okay. Art.
Okay, well, it's already in place in the public schools, including the states that I think including the states where it wasn't even passed, but there are these so-called standards, which, by the way, are mediocre. They are not high standards. Most of the states had higher standards than what they are prescribing, but it is just a way of taking the national government, just taking over education completely. They've been moving in that direction for many years, since the Carter administration authorized the Department of Education. And but now this pretty much just puts the nail in the coffin, that they're going to have all the power over education. It's kind of like the Obamacare healthcare takeover. Mm-hmm. It's same with education. And, you know, we're trying to get the Alabama State School Board to rescind their vote. They voted for it, all except Betty Peters and Stephanie Bell. So it was approved in Alabama, and now we've got to get it undone.
And Ms. Barbara, let me say a few quotes for Kaylin and the rest of them. Obama Secretary of Education Arne Duncan's speech at 2009 Governor's Education Symposium, 2009, he states the following: perfect storm for reform, Obama effect, leadership on the Hill, and the unions, proven strategies for success, the Recovery Act, $100 billion. And he's quoted as saying, but if all we do is save jobs, we will miss this opportunity, which is why we are also using this recovery money to drive reform. There's never been this much money on the table. So, and another one for really, this tells you exactly what they're doing. Mr. Lou Gerstner, who is the head of ACHIEVE, who is, you know, helping form the national assessments, he says, I'm going to suggest, this is to Obama, that he convenes 50 governors, and the first thing they do is they abolish the 16,000 school districts we have in the United States. 16,000 school districts are what we're trying to cram this reform through. So, you know, right there, Kaylin, their words are right there for all of us to see, but unfortunately, as you were inferring, The media is not doing their job. As a matter of fact, they've hidden a lot of these things. But anyway, we're about to close. I know we went over our time. And, Caleb, do you want to say some closing thoughts on some of the things that we covered?
Well, I just want to say that I thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a voice on the show. I really appreciate you all having the confidence to know that that you would like to have my input. So I just like to say I appreciate it, and I'm very humbled by it.
Aww.
Well, Caitlin, there's really one qualification, Caitlin, that's most important to us, and that is, where's your heart?
Yeah.
We know where your heart is. It belongs to God, so everything else goes right. Well, Miss Barbara, we are, you know, really, we're the ones that's privileged to hear Caleb speaking up, you know, to us and
that's
to
right.
this generation, because really, you are the future, Caleb. This future is yours, and we need more like you, because, and to me, I think the driving force that hopefully will get everybody to think on the same boat, Caleb, is the child that God has given you responsibility for. You know, because when it all boils down to if we don't stand now, what kind of a future are we going to leave? You know, what we're seeing picketing at Wall Street, I think that's a murmur of what they want this world to be, which is really a world in chaos, a nation in chaos, anarchy. And we can't have that. We were so privileged to have so much better. So I'm hoping other parents will get off their comfort zone and be like you, Caitlin. I'll stand in the gap. With that in mind, Ms. Barbara, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Well, I'd love to, but I opened in prayer, didn't I?
Oh, okay.
let's ask Caitlin to close in prayer.
I don't know if he's able to where he's at, Caitlin. Are you able to? And if you're not, I will gladly close in prayer.
Oh, I can. I'm in my car, so I can go ahead and do that.
Okay, thank you. Good.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you today, Lord God, for the privilege of just being a part of the greatest nation on the face of this earth, Father God. Father, we thank you for the many privileges and honors you've given us, Father, as United States citizens, to be able to speak our voice and be heard, Father God. Father, we thank you right now for the influence you give us, Father God, over our government, Father God. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, that you are strengthening those right now, Father God, that are listening, Father, who are not listening. Father, you're strengthening people and waking people up in such a time as this, Lord, letting them know we live in perilous times right now, Father God. Draw people to you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, Father God. Father God, bless Miss Barbara and Miss Diana, Father God. Bless their families. Father God, bless all of our guests, Father God. We just like you just to keep us, Father God, forever in your keeping care, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Caitlin.
Ms. Barbara, can I close this up? Thank you.
I would indeed. We do thank you for joining us today on City on a Hill Radio Show. We hope that you'll access some of the recent podcasts on our website, cityonahill.tv, and share them with your friends and family wherever they might be. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for another City on a Hill Radio Show. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.